Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And we're lucky enough to be able to grab Bobby Marks for a few minutes. It was nice enough to give us a couple of minutes of his time to discuss everything going on free agency-wise within the league. Of course, Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN, and it's nice to pop on with us here on a Saturday morning. Bobby, thanks for coming on, man.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. All right, so let's get into it. Obviously, it's all about LeBron right now. And I said before, it always seems like he's got a plan. What level do you think of certainty he has right now in what he is going to do?
Well, I think he's got a good idea. I mean, basically, you know, him opting out of his, you know, contract kind of set the stage for what his choices are. I mean, it's basically Cleveland, return back to Cleveland, maybe on a short deal, the Lakers. Or, you know, Philadelphia kind of has that distant third. And I think if, you know, if you're LeBron, are you content going to the Lakers if you cannot get Paul George there or if there's no Kawhi Leonard trade to be made? That's probably the big question if that's being thrown around in his inner circle, because him by himself without another marquee player doesn't get that Laker team to the Golden State level or the Houston level. I don't even know if it gets into the Utah or the Oklahoma City level. So I think he has an idea, but I think he needs some pieces that kind of need to be lined up, that need to fall into place here.
Now, obviously, the Lakers seem like the overwhelming odds favorite. They seemed like that for a while now. And you mentioned Cleveland. You mentioned Philadelphia. You know the numbers and the ramifications cap-wise more than I do, certainly, more than anyone. But is there any possible way that there's some secret team that's hiding in the weeds and is a third option or a fourth option that still might have a shot of being able to finagle things somehow? Or is it one of those three teams that he'll end up going to?
Yeah, it's hard for me to identify a team. We thought it could be possibly Houston, based on where they were, you know, based on their interest level, and him opting out really hurt that chances because it will be real extremely difficult to get him in a trade because of the hard cap restrictions. I mean, there are teams that have cap space, but you know, this is a lot different than 2016 when Kevin Durant signed in Golden State when the TV money came in and we had, what, 26 or 27 teams that had room. This year we have eight or nine. The majority of them are teams that are rebuilding and are not going to go out and use cap space. Dallas has already, you know, targeted DeAndre Jordan. So it would take, and you know, San Antonio would have been, I guess, that under-the-radar team, but you know, with everything going on with Kawhi Leonard, I can't make an argument for them to go out and try to clear cap space. So no, I don't see a team sneaking up as being that fourth team right now.
We're talking with Bobby Marks, NBA insider here on 98.7 FM ESPN New York. The Kawhi situation is almost as intriguing, if not more, than the LeBron one, because it doesn't seem like LeBron, as you said, has that many options. Kawhi, it seems like it's pretty wide out open right now, including the possibility that he doesn't get traded at least right now. Where do you see that situation standing, and what do you think the desperation level or the interest level of the Spurs is to move him quicker rather than later?
I think they're going to slow play this unless they get the perfect offer, either from the Lakers or from Boston. I think if you're Boston, I don't know if there's a perfect offer that you want to make, and it would be including Jaylen Brown. I would certainly surrender maybe some of those draft picks, but I would be hesitant taking back Kawhi based on the injury, based on an expiring contract, and if you're not sure that you'll be able to sign him. If you're the Lakers, that's a little bit different. Now, you do get to a point where you know you can get LeBron James only if Kawhi Leonard comes. And I think that would be a case where if you're Magic Johnson, what are you willing to give up? And I think if you're San Antonio, it would certainly have to be Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, and probably two first-round picks. That's the cost. And it's interesting. We're like, it's deja vu a year ago where they were with Paul George. And I think they're going to learn the hard lesson with Paul George that the likelihood is that he probably could return to Oklahoma City. They had an opportunity to go out and get him last year. They did not. And it's the same situation we're going to probably see play out with Kawhi right now.
We're talking with Bobby Marks here on ESPN New York. So you mentioned the Paul George situation a year ago. So that would obviously give the Lakers some incentive to make the deal now rather than later, rather than wait a year. In terms of the Spurs, though, I just look at myself. I would feel like this relationship that's broken down, why am I going to help my competitor, even if it's kind of cutting off my nose to spite my face? Is there anything within the front office of the Spurs that says to them, you know, look, this might be where Kawhi wants to go, but that may be the last thing that we want to do? Or is it just simply about getting the best deal possible?
I think if you can get a home run deal, and you know, you never really do for all-star players, especially ones that do not want to be there anymore. You go out and you do it no matter if you're sending him to the Lakers or another team in the Western Conference. I think, you know, certainly a team like Philadelphia might have a more of an attractive offer of you know, maybe Robert Covington, some draft picks, and we haven't heard Markelle Fultz's name at all being mentioned. But I think if you're R.C. Buford, you go out and you get the best offer despite that if that team is in the Western Conference.
And one last thing, Bobby, as we talk about, you know, a lot of people have focused on the relationship breaking down between the Spurs and Kawhi for whatever reason. There's really not been that much focus on the injury itself. How much work do the teams that are involved in this, how much information can they really compile on making a trade for a guy who missed basically all of last season with an injury?
No, you're right. I mean, really, nobody's talked about the injury. It's kind of been an outlier based on we've all talked about the expiring contract. And it is so hard to make deals in the off season with a player coming off an injury because he hasn't played a game. This is not, you know, January, February, and there's a little bit of a body work or, you know, a player is coming off an injury and, you know, and how, you know, getting him in, you know, you can bring him in, get a physical and do that, but you won't know anything until you get him on a court, you know, for, you know, in September for training camp. It's like with, you know, we saw with Isaiah Thomas last year with that trade with the Celtics in Cleveland. So yeah, I mean it's a huge risk for a guy who played what 9 or 10 games last year.
And I said that was the last one. Actually, I had one last one. The Knicks. I mean, the Knicks. It seems like it's going to be a very quiet offseason. Not a lot of options to make moves. Is that what you would expect as well?
Yeah, I think they're content. I think you will probably see them go out and try to bring back Michael Beasley on a 1-year contract. I think they've got, you know, their room and level, which is 8-6. I think the target would be guys on 1-year deals. It will be interesting what they do with Porzingis on a rookie extension. I would recommend waiting until next summer. Not really based on the injury, but it just gives you so much more flexibility to not use all, you know, a $27 million, you know, max on him, and you can, you know, with his cap hold being lower than that, to hold off there. So yeah, I think they're content. I think it's all about player development. I say player development 101 with their younger players and a new coach. And I think you'll see probably players come in on 1-year contracts there.
Bobby, thanks for a few minutes. And I'm sure it'll be very interesting here the next couple of days, couple of weeks. And we'll hopefully check in with you again sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.